The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. The weekend edition is here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Put your hands together. You made it just 1 week till kickoff for 2017. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone, Ethan is in this morning as well. We got a great show planned for you to get you up and going here this last weekend before Nebraska football. College football kicks off, and today is going to be a great sports day with Mayweather McGregor. So strap in, enjoy, and the next 2 hours, plenty of college football for you here with Hail Varsity Radio. Can join us this morning. Welcome to do so. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line with Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House on Twitter. If that's more convenient, by all means, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and at Mark Skurs. Can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Here's what we got rocking. In about 15 minutes, our rewind segment, we'll have former Husker linebacker and longtime athletic director and former head coach at Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez. We had a tough call today for the rewind. We absolutely did. We nailed it this week. Coach McBride, Barry Alvarez, Eric Crouch, Johnny Rogers. Coach Tom Osborne was with us yesterday. So why not go with all of them? Great question. We only have 2 hours. My fault. So, yeah, we're going to go with Barry Alvarez. You want to get caught up with the rest of the interviews, go ahead and check out the podcast at HailVarsity.com, iTunes, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Speaking of streaming, the ESPN Lincoln app's where you can find us for your Android or mobile. And, of course, FM 1015 or 1480. In hour two, Brandon Vogel going to be with us on Hail Varsity. And Greg Smith to knock out some recruiting around 8:30. Also of Hail Varsity, Greg was down at Beatrice getting caught up with Cam Jurgens. So high school football off and running as well, and Greg will get us dialed in. Let's see if we got a connection with Mr. Mark Kranak. Kranak, you doing all right this morning? Are you with us, sir? Crickets. We will try and reconnect with Mr. Kranak, but you have the phone numbers, and you have the email, and let's dive into it. Are you counting yourself in with 2017 as a Nebraska football fan? Will this year be different for you as a fan, as you cheer on the Nebraska football team? Will the team be different? Will this kind of be a breakthrough season, or will this be a transition season with some good, some bad, and some movement towards 18? All things we can chat and discuss about. We'll also run down and put in the old hot seat, producer Colton Stone, because after Colton is done with us, Colton gets to go try out and become a walk-on for Nebraska football. Colton is smiling right now. It's like, why in the heck did I come in this morning? I should be doing some more benches, some more shuttle prep. I kid, but we are so proud of him and hope things work out for him later today. But when it comes to a breakthrough season or a different season, what camp are you in? I mean, you've had a slow build and now kind of an explosion of hype with Nebraska, with Tanner Lee specifically. So you look at what's going to be a difference maker for Nebraska football potentially this year. Why is it going to be a West Division title? Why is it going to be a date in Indy the first part of December against likely Ohio State, Penn State, or Michigan? We can say Michigan State, but that's just being kind based on recent history prior to last year. And when you look at Nebraska and you kind of map it out, you lay it out, you try and figure out why are they going to be different, why are they going to be better, and it really just comes down to a word this week that was used quite a bit by Coach Riley and even a lot of the players after practices. You hear it from offensive players, you hear it from defensive players, and you do hear it, right? You do hear it the week before the game. Get back to us and talk to us midseason or after that first big road game or after that first tough test at Memorial Stadium. And does the comfort last? Because right now, the word you're hearing is comfort. You've heard good things about efficiency on offense. You feel really good about the quarterback spot. You don't know how good the depth will be at wide out behind your perceived two top playmakers in Stanley Morgan Jr. and DeMarne Pearson-Ale. Listen, a lot of things need to come together for Nebraska, but it's possible. It's quite doable. And, you know, count me in. Why is this year going to be different? Once we get connected with Kranak, we'll go through some of our predictions. But I look at things and say, okay, you've had a build, you have year three. And Coach Barnett told us earlier this week, when you're taking over a program and you get some recruiting classes in, you kind of get your blueprint in, you get your culture established, usually things pop, as he put it, in year four. Well, can you be ahead of schedule in year three? And you absolutely can if you've recruited right, if you've developed well, and if you got that buy-in, and you feel like that buy-in is happening. You feel like the comfort is there. You feel like the comfort is there with an experienced quarterback who's played college football before, who sought out a good landing spot from his time at Tulane, and that's Tanner Lee. Feels comfortable, looking good on offense. And with this Riley offense, and you've heard it and you may see it this year, the ability to just move the chains, be efficient, put yourself in really good second down, God forbid third down situations, and have a good mix of run and pass and be balanced, and again, keep that efficiency with the run game. Be physical. The offensive line, you had a number of those guys speak after practices this week, and Gerald Foster, his comments come to mind about just how they're stepping back, understanding their roles, and they're looking to one voice on that offensive line. They can all have input, but the voice they'll listen to is going to be their center, Cole Conrad. There's some belief there. The tight end spot, Riley has spent plenty of time talking about instead of a position you just kind of get by with, it's a spot that could be a strength with Hoppus and some of the younger tight ends. And if that thing gets popping, whew, watch out for the mismatches. Getting the weakest defender on a guy that can have some fun with you and exploit you up the seam or in that soft zone area, the intermediate 9-yard routes to mess with the defense. And then I think you have a sleeping giant in Stanley Morgan at wide receiver. Am I going to predict how many yards and catches and touchdowns? We can later. But I know that the guy is ready for prime time. He's shown his ability to thrive and be dynamic at an early age. And then here's kind of the comeback story and the go out the right way with DeMarne Pearson-Ale. You know what you got as a freshman. You know what he's been through and battled through. And you get him in space, he can be electrifying. And he is ready to go out with an exclamation point. The running game is something that you're wondering about. I get it. And can you be better than 10th when it comes to yards per carry in Big Ten football? Can it help you average more than 21 a game? And I'm here to say, yeah, based on what your offense could do, the quarterback you have, and the parts you have for that running back room, you want to play some power football, hand it to Ziggy. You want to get a guy that can run between the tackles, catch the screen, and be dynamic and be a big play out of the backfield. How about Wilbon? Trey Bryant, tons of speed, has shown some flashes, needs to stay healthy, needs to hold out of the football. but can be really, really good. And then who knows what they'll do with Bradley. A guy that's got tremendous vision, some cutback, and comes in, by all accounts, a few notches ahead of a lot of freshmen. So you have options there at running back, and as a whole group, why not go the Patriot way? Attack a defense based on their weakness in association with the strength you have and a skill set you have at running back. So offensively, these guys, if it comes together, can absolutely make 2017 a different season. Be different. Be different than, okay, yawn 9-4. And you should never scoff at that. But make that step, make that stride to be in games of major consequence. And I'll tell you, the schedule's not easy, but I like it. I like where this team can be by the end of the year based on what they have to start the year, and they can reassess at mid-year. Because November is going to be a major statement opportunity for Nebraska. Northwestern at home, then you travel to Minnesota, then you have Penn State on the road, and then you close with Iowa. You know, you felt good about year one, not the record, but how they closed out with the bowl win. Right there with Iowa, missed opportunities, smoking Rutgers, upsetting Sparty. 6-7 didn't feel like 6-7 because of how you closed. You don't like how 16 finished. Started out unbeaten, almost got whiskey. Ohio State did their thing. Iowa did their thing. Tennessee kind of closed the year with a thud on Nebraska's face. Start out great. How do you finish? Well, you kind of fade it. So you have both extremes, and maybe you find a happy medium where you start out okay, you maybe hit a rough patch, but then you learn from that rough patch and finish strong. Oregon, 2 weeks away. Well, we'll say 3 weeks. 3 weeks away. Very winnable game. Tell you a lot about your offense. Could be a monster springboard. Could also be a major learning tool if you don't get it done. And we'll talk about how that happens, how Nebraska goes duck hunting 2 years in a row in a couple of weeks. What you have with that Oregon game is your offense and how much you're going to lean on that offense against a defense in transition with Oregon. You flip it around. What's your defense going to be like? What's Diaco going to do? And listen, here's what kind of hinges to me on how this year starts, how they kind of build up and peak at the right time, and how they get ready for those first two in October before the bye week, that midseason point as to why 17 can be different and may be different. We'll tell you here in a little bit why it will be different or why it won't be different. And defensively, can they get their sea legs ahead of schedule? Going to be easy? No. But based on, again, back to that C word, the comfort level, it could be a good thing. They could be ahead of schedule. They could be in lockstep. They could be a defense that didn't play in a step or two slow because they're thinking. I don't think Diaco's going to let that happen. He wants them to be sound and assignment ready, but he wants them to fly around to the football. And I think they have some fellas that can be stars. I think they have a guy in Carlos Davis that can just wreck shop in the Big Ten. I think they've got a couple of linebackers that are going to absolutely thrive in this system with some tremendous coaching from Bray. When you look at Dedrick Young and Chris Weber. Weber's been waiting his whole life for this. And he's going to go at it the right way. Dedrick, what you're hearing from camp, what you heard about some of the scrimmages, I mean, he's just a nice fit at that linebacker spot. I know, the outside linebackers, you got Gifford and Newby. Let's talk about the cat spot. No, I don't think Nebraska will let themselves be exploited or tormented by that outside linebacker spot. They'll make an adjustment. They'll coach up the guys and the candidates out there right now with Davis and Cedric King. And they'll find a way to be more than serviceable and play to the kids' strengths. And in the secondary, you got Kalu and you got Williams at safety. Feel good about that. How will your young corners perform? Will the run defense be good enough where teams just say, screw it, let's throw it our young corners, throw it the Nebraska young corners? Well, you got kind of a silent, confident technician in Lee. You've got a guy that's been hyped, that's had to have the let's look in the mirror, and a dude that's hungry with just a masterful body and physicality in Lamar Jackson. He's ready to come out and play ball like he's supposed to, like he knows to. And then the other cornerback with Boodle and Stovall, and they're trying to find some other options because you need more than two. They have three. Maybe they'll find a fourth or fifth by that mid-year point. Maybe they'll find it sooner. But can the defense be ahead of schedule? Can it be tailor-made to be better than adequate and then grow into something that is difference-making? There's time to do that. Your season isn't static. And theoretically, you keep building to get better. So you tab that offense with the system, with the quarterback, with the defense that can play complementary football, and now we get to the third phase, special teams. How's your kicker going to be in crunch time? Can they drill a three ball from 50 out at the buzzer? Talent's there to do it. Punting, can it be consistent? Can teams have to drive 80 yards, 90 yards, 70 yards if your defense or if your offense sputters? That's the work. Can't guarantee it. And then the return game. Back to Pearsonell. What do you got with him? Well, you got a guy that's hungry, that's being challenged, and as it sits right now, will be the first option. There are options behind him in Tyjon Lindsey and Stanley Morgan. You know, competition's great. Squeezes you, focuses you, and you want to keep that job, you better perform. And I think Pearsonell's aimed to do that. So why will 2017 be different? The offense is as good as advertised behind quarterback Tanner Lee. The run game steps up marketably to be not just there, but something that can complement where you're off balance defensively. And you flip it around to the defensive side, they come in ahead of schedule. They develop some confidence early. They make some plays early. The energy is been talked about a lot, rightfully so. Does it translate to the field where they're playing fast and confident and making tackles, taking the ball away, and this no-seam tag associated with the Diaco defense, does it happen? There'll be some breakdowns and some growing pains early, but can you minimize those within this transition? And I think with the staff they have, the talent they have, it could be there. And just think if they get that win at Oregon. They got to beat Arkansas State first. We'll get into to old Jonesboro here in a week. But, I mean, it's set up. It's set up to come out of the gate and you get your two big dogs at home. And these guys have experienced it. A lot of them have. But it was on the road last year where you go back-to-back to Madtown and Columbus. This year they come to Lincoln. You got that 12th man. How many Husker fans you bumped into in the last few days wearing red already? Got the face paint on. They will try and will this team to victory in both of those games in October. Ohio State's fierce. Wisconsin's for real, but it should be a great opportunity. And then you get your bye week. Do you have three losses before the 20th of October? Do you have two losses? Do you have one losses? God forbid, are you undefeated before you go into November, ranked in that top five, top 10? It'll be there to move up and down the polls. So if it stumbles or you have some hiccups, you can absolutely recalibrate and close November. What do I predict? 8-9, fringing on a 10, and a chance, real chance, to be an Indy. They could do it. Northwestern at home, never easy. Should be a victory. Wisconsin at home, you've been right there. Is this the year? What do you do to Ohio State? More like, what do they do to you? I don't know. We have plenty of football to play and to see how this thing goes out. Oregon, though, will tell you a lot because it's so, so early. Here's the reality. You're going to win the West. You can be no worse than 7-2, and I base that off of Wisconsin's schedule. Wisconsin's got to go to Iowa, got to go to Lincoln. They host Michigan. Nebraska, well-documented. They got to go to Penn State. They got to go to Row the Boat Land. They have to mess with Iowa. They have to mess with Wisconsin. But your chances are there to be right in it till the end. That's the expectation. It needs to be a reality this year, and I think with the offensive and defensive collaboration, it can be. McGregor Mayweather, are you fired up for it? Do you have that buddy of yours that, hey, bro, get the fight? I did for the Pacquiao. Was irritated. Nobody paid me. Just don't mess with it. Mayweather McGregor. Experience it at Longwells, down in the rail yard. You've been to Longwells? I hope you have. I think you have. You know how massive their TVs are. I don't have a tape measure. I don't have a tape measure big enough to measure their TVs. But it's insane. It's fantastic. Cold beer, really tasty barbecue, and you can reserve your spot at Longwells for McGregor Mayweather tonight for $25. Did some research. It's 100 bones for you to order the fight. You got it? Cool. But even my, and I retook math like 15 times at the university. 25 is less than 100, right? Get some tasty barbecue, get a beer, get with your bros, and go watch this, whatever you deem it. Go watch it, enjoy it. And can get your reservation now. I don't know that they'll answer, but just walk with me to Longwells tonight. $25, McGregor, Mayweather, 402-853-9255. Get in there. $25, Mayweather, McGregor. You won't be disappointed. You'll thank me. And even if you were going to have people over, look, you got to shake people down to pay you, to be made whole. You got to buy the food, the drinks, got to clean the house. I get shot down all the time. Hey, it's a road weekend. Can we have people over? No. I don't want to clean. I'll clean. Will you clean up after? Didn't answer that. So there you have it. We are off and running on a Saturday morning weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. We will connect with Mark Kranak. I promise you that. We will run down Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We will find recruiting analyst Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. He was down in Beatrice last night with Cam Jurgens. And I saw a highlight last night where that Beatrice offense, man, they roll right. They dump it to Jurgens. Jurgens destroys a couple people and then takes it to the house for a touchdown. It was pretty sweet to watch. A lot of great high school football going on. A guy who got his career started at Lincoln Northeast, coaching high school football, and then moving to Mason City, Iowa, after a stop in Lexington, and then to Iowa City with Hayden Fry, and then to Notre Dame with Lou Holtz. And then from Lou to the head man at Wisconsin, where he recreated the Nebraska image up there in Dairyland. Athletic director, standout linebacker for Nebraska, the AD of Wisconsin, talks some college football and Big Ten with us. Barry Alvarez, our rewind segment next on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Mary Alvarez joins us here on Hail Varsity Radio, athletic director of Wisconsin, longtime head coach, and, of course, former Husker. Coach, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. How's your day going?
Good. Been busy, but good.
Well, appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and wanted to give you a shout and kind of get your thoughts here. How are the Badgers 2017 looking here as we're a week away from kickoff?
Well, I've had a chance to watch us practice for the last couple weeks, and I've been impressed. I like our football team. You know, along with camp goes injuries sometimes, and we lost one of our better players in Jack Sitchie, who was, you know, he was hurt last year in, I think, fourth or fifth game of the year, and we were really anxious to get him back. He brings so much vitality and energy and leadership to our team, and, you know, we lost him with a knee injury, but all in all, I think we've improved in camp, and I like our team.
What do you like most? If there's a trait that kind of makes you smile most, what do you want above all? If you have to prioritize,
I like when we have a good offensive line. I feel good. I feel like we can do what we want to do. You know, we had a little step backwards, and that Paul did a great job in the last 2 years of rebuilding the offensive line. And our strength coaches have done a nice job of working with our kids. But our offensive line now looks like one of our offensive lines from the past.
A few minutes here. Barry Alvarez with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, you mentioned Sitchie, and, man, just such an incredible line. Linebacker. You look at Watt, of course, you look at Borland of years past. And what do you look for in a linebacker in this 3-4 you run? You're a linebacker yourself. What are some of the skill sets and then the development that goes into them? Because Wisconsin, what you guys do with your 3-4 and how versatile you are is impressive, and it's really been pretty big time for your football team for a number of years.
Yeah, I think to answer your question, what I look for in a linebacker is somebody that has the innate ability to just find the football and be around the football all the time. You know, Borland was undersized, but didn't have great speed, but he used his size to his ability. Great nose for the ball, always around the football, understood the game, anticipated very well, and was just a playmaker. You know, I always used to say as a linebacker coach when I spoke at clinics, as you're starting a football team, if you're just starting a team and you want to select linebackers, you just put people on the field. It doesn't make any difference what position. At the end of the day, whoever had the most tackles, that's who you put at linebacker. The guys that can find the ball, and, you know, we've been fortunate. You know, we had two drafted last year, and Vince Beagle and T.J. Watt. You know, they were both very good coming off the corner. They created, pressure from the outside. They could cover. They could run. You know, Sitchie from the inside was a great blitzer. But he, you know, all those guys had a good feel for the game and a nose for the ball.
So you look at the IQ, the hustle, kind of the heartbeat versus maybe some physical measurements or the speed aspect. They're fast guys, don't get me wrong, but there are things that are unmeasurable, those intangibles,
right,
correct?
Right. There are a lot of fast guys that don't get to the ball.
Well put. Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, Nebraska's undergoing a shift to the 3-4. Coach Diaco's been here since January, and when you guys shifted, and correct me if I'm wrong, was it 13 you shifted to the 3-4?
I think that sounds right. When Gary Anderson came in.
Right, so it was 13. Did anything surprise you about that shift? Was it seamless? Were there growing pains? It's been great the last few years, but was it as easy as it's looked, I guess, I'm asking.
It hasn't been that big of an issue. And the thing I've seen, we you know, when I was at Iowa years ago, we ran a 3-4, and we started with a 3-4 here. It's not whether you run a 3-4 or 4-3. It's being gap sound. It's you know, executing your defense. It's not a scheme doesn't win for you and a coach doesn't win for you. It's the players that, you know, that execute, you know, what, as long as you're sound, mm-hmm. as long as they execute their, you know, and make things happen, that's what makes a defense. It's not the scheme. If it was a scheme, everybody'd be in one scheme.
Yeah, you got a lot of different options out there. Coach, you had a chance to get a home-and-home, well, actually not home-and-home, but a series signed up with Notre Dame and Wisconsin at Lambeau in 2020, Soldier Field 2021. Take us a little bit into that deal. How long did it take to get this done with Notre Dame? And being a former Notre Dame coach, how excited are you about it?
Well, I'm excited. excited about it. Our athletes and coaching staff, they like it. I think our fans appreciate it. I actually started, Jack Schwarbrick took the AD's job probably in 08 or 09, mm-hmm. and I happened to be over there speaking at a clinic, and I thought it'd be a good time. They were talking about changing their schedule around and eliminating Michigan. They were talking about maybe not playing Purdue, and I thought it'd be a good time for us to maybe work into a home-and-home with them. That just never worked out. We could never put anything together home-and-home, and Jack called me a couple years ago about their Shamrock series. They wanted to play in Lambeau, wanted to know if I might be interested, and I said I would be interested, but if we do the Lambeau for your game, I need to reciprocate and have a game for television rights for the Big Ten.
Sure.
So we were able to do that, and we're able to, work it out with Soldier Field, and it was good for both of us. I think their people were excited, and we had a nice press conference last week in Chicago, and it was very positive.
Is it more difficult to get non-conference teams, big-name teams, to come to Camp Randall?
It's hard to work out a home and home. It's easier to buy a game.
Yeah.
You know how we familiar with the Big Ten schedule now. Every other year you're going to play five conference games at home. The next year you're at four. Mm-hmm. That alternates. When you'd like to play seven home games. You'd like to base your schedule off of seven home games. And when you're playing four non-conference at home, to get seven, you're going to have to buy three teams or work in a game off campus. And so, that's how we've kind of worked it and based it off of seven home games.
Barry Alvarez, a couple more minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I wanted to ask you about your time at Notre Dame, and I saw the ESPN 30 for 30 Catholics versus the Convicts. And growing up, I grew up here in Lincoln and watching, Nebraska for years, going to games for years, but always enjoyed the late 80s Notre Dame teams and then the rivalry you guys had with Miami. Reflect on that 88 Irish defense you had, and a guy I always think about, Zorich and Stonebreaker and Light in the secondary. I mean, you had a really good group of players, but going into that 88 championship year, did you think there was something special there? Could it be a championship team?
Going in, it was a funny group of guys. Frank Stams ended up making All-American at outside linebacker that year. The year before, Frank was a washed-up fullback. and I told Coach, I'll take him and teach him how to play outside linebacker. Chris Zorich was a washed-up linebacker. We took him in nose guard in the spring. Patrick Terrell mm-hmm. was a wide receiver that Coach got fed up with, and I coached him on the punt team as a sprinter, and I said, I mean, he can run and he can hit you. He'd be a great safety, and it took me about three or four games to convince Coach to move him to defense. And, some of those guys really hadn't done anything to that point, but they really gelled, and we had tremendous leadership from, some linebackers. Stonebreaker was players followed Stonebreaker, Stams. Wesley Pritchett was a great player. All of them were linebackers that the guys really liked, and they loved playing. They were physical. The team just very gelled, very well together and loved playing. Never intimidated. I think we had, if not the most, probably one of the most difficult schedules in the country. We played Southern Cal along with Stanford, who was very good at the time, and Michigan. Michigan State was a Big Ten champ. So it goes right down the line. Every week was a big ball game. But this group really, they stepped up to the challenge. Tony Rice came on as a good quarterback and an option, good option. He couldn't throw very well. We didn't throw for many yards, but great leader You know, they could keep the defense off the field by moving the ball. And Rocket Ishmael was a big addition to that team.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome, if I remember correctly.
Well, he could run. I'm telling you, he was as fast as anyone I've ever seen on the football field, and he can wiggle a little bit. And about midseason, you know, we were right after the Miami game. I told Coach, I used Coach Devaney. He was complaining about running backs, and I said, you know, I'm going to go back to one thing Coach Devaney said. If he had it all to do over with Johnny Rogers, he'd put him at running back and put the ball in his hands 20 times a game instead of, you know, three or four reverses and, you know, people quit punting to you and kicking off to you.
Sure.
And all those things. And I said, Rocket reminds me of Johnny. And my advice to you, instead of complaining about not having running backs, move him to running back. Let him teach him a couple plays for this week and add to it. And so we got him more involved in the game. And, you know, I think that next week he rushed for 120-some yards. I probably only knew two plays.
Well, probably only took about six carries to get to 120.
Yeah, probably.
Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, to wrap on this, and thanks for your time. Leadership so important on a football team, and Coach Riley's culture is, you know, he's excited about year three and the culture he's kind of setting up here at Nebraska. What did you take from Coach Devaney about culture, specifically to the leadership point of a culture? How did you watch, observe, and then kind of implement how things were at Nebraska to your first football teams, even when you got your first head job as a high school coach? How did you go about finding the leaders and kind of giving them ownership?
Well, I think leaders come to the top, and as a coach, you know, you're always looking for those leaders and see who takes the bit and see who the other kids will follow. And I know we used to talk about it as a staff. And sometimes you have a team that you may not have any leaders. You try to cultivate some leaders and bring some along. You teach them how to lead. But sometimes the coaches have to lead.
Okay.
You know, as I told, you know, I can remember telling our coaches one year, there are no excuses. If we don't have a leader, if no one steps up, then we have to lead. You know, we're the ones that have to figure out how to win games. So, but, you know, I always felt like, you know, leadership, you can guide leadership and guide some players towards that. But it's the good leaders know how to lead, and players will follow them because, you know, they do the right things on and off the field.
Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, take care. We'll catch up Nebraska-Wisconsin week. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, very good. Have a good day.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. Going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Always got to make sure you get that radio edit in there when McConaughey's doing his scene in Wolf of Wall Street, I tell you. All right, Mark Kranak in 15 minutes. Ha! I'm timing him. Colton Stowett is trying out for the football team. T-minus 4 hours? Yeah, he's like, yeah, shut up. Don't bother me. I want you to read this story in diary from a tremendous wide receiver committed to Nebraska. The story of the Chosen, a diary by Joshua Moore. Big-time wideout from Yoakum, Texas, has teamed up with Hale Varsity to detail his senior season. It is just a gorgeous read. Do that. You'll thank me for it. Good stuff. Greg Smith is coming up in 40 minutes to talk recruiting from HaleVarsity.com. Brandon Vogel is going to join us at the top of the hour following SportsCenter. And to get caught up with him the week that has been for Nebraska football. And we started the show off, why will 2017 be different for Nebraska football? Can it? Yes. Will it? Time will tell, but I think it will be different for the Big Red simply because of what you have on offense at quarterback, and also the defense can be ahead of schedule. How about Wilderness Ridge? How about Happy Hour? If you're at Wilderness, you're probably happy anyway. But join your friends after a long day of work and unwind. Half-priced appetizers, discounted drinks, gather at the bar, or get that view. Maybe you saw it during the eclipse. on the deck at Wilderness Ridge. And you want to take advantage of the outdoor seating while this weather lasts. It's been an awesome August. It'll be a great September. And you can go golf and then gather with your friends. Happy hour is daily 4 to 6. And then preferred dining club members daily 4 to 8 o'clock. Members all day, every day. Same day golf with scorecard 11 to 6. And here's how it goes. 50% off all starters. $1 off well drinks, draft beer, domestic bottled beer. $2 off house wine by the glass. And $18 wine flights can choose 4. Make your dining reservation today at Wilderness Ridge. Get that tee time locked in. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106 is what you dial. Let's talk and listen to Gerald Foster as he describes a guy we were just talking about, Tanner Lee. Cut 4 here. Lee is a guy that they're pretty high on, and they're feeling good about kind of following him into battle, Tanner Lee, and what Gerald Foster thinks of him.
He's definitely understood that he needs to be that leader. He needs to be the guy that, you know, we do go through Cole for our calls, but at the end of the day, the whole offense goes through Tanner. So having him just being a vocal person that understands that we're listening to him, we're following him, what he tells us to do is the thing that we're going to do. He's really taking a step forward. And I love that, you know, he's definitely taking that burden and put it on his own shoulders just to be the guy that we need. So with Tanner Lee back there, I am comfortable, you know, with my set and just keeping the pocket presence and whatnot, just things like that. So I'm happy to see him back there.
That's Foster, one of your best linemen, a guy that's battled back from injury, and he's feeling good about who's behind him at center or behind center. And the chemistry and the gelling part, very key. I thought this was interesting after practice on Thursday about where this offensive line's at.
Our chemistry's great. Everybody's understanding their role and their responsibilities and the things that we have to do sometimes with the guys that we have as strong leaders across the line. Sometimes having to take a step back and, you know, be a follower role and listening to somebody else and what they feel like, you know, is needed to be said and needed to be done. It was kind of hard, you know, and that's what the spring is for and that's what the summer is for, just so you to give you the chance to mold together and understand each other. Not only with us as the five, but to count in, you know, the younger guys that are definitely understanding their roles and that at always, you know, there's always that chance that somebody's going to have to step up. They understand that they need to be there and they push us every single day. So I'm happy to say that our whole offensive line looking, we're looking pretty strong and the core looks good.
Music to many fans' ears, and that'll be one of the reasons why 2017 is different. Hour 2, Brandon Vogel coming up, Greg Smith on the way. Hour 2 of Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Well, I would bet money that Kranak's foot is all the way down as he is meandering his way from West Omaha down. Just a hunch, he has screamed at his computer. But he's, you know what? He's going to make a 40-minute trip for the last hour of the show. That is dedication. Some say insanity. We love him. Kranak will be in shortly, storming in like the Mad Hungarian out of the bullpen circa the early 80s in Major League Baseball. We welcome in Brandon Vogel to start off Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at Brandon L. Vogel. Mr. Vogel has a book signing on Monday with Coach John Cook. And Vogel will tell you a little bit more about the book shortly, but we are 7 days from kickoff. 11:30 is when Colorado State and Oregon State will stare each other down. Vogues, good morning. I'm sure you have a to-do list today. Part of that to-do list is to see some college football. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. And, you know, it's been a week. It's been a week of Nebraska football gearing up towards Arkansas State. It's been a week of scholarships handed out to walk-ons, and it's still been a week of who are the captains, who are the red shirts that will not redshirt. So that is still up in the air. But I want to start with this, and Derek Peterson kind of asked Coach Riley about it, this persona, this image, this rep, this cred as the cool coach. What's your reaction to it? And Jim Rome kind of started it off.
Yeah, it was a great story by Derek. And I thought Mike Riley's reaction to it was pretty funny. There's a video of it in that story. You can see he gets a little bit uncomfortable with, you know, in a good-natured way with the question of what does it feel like to be the cool coach. You know, so much of college football, what we used to call the arms race and talk about with facilities and things like that, happens on Twitter now. You've got to compete to be the cool coach. You've got to have a guy who can create edits and those little graphics that go to go out to high school football recruits when you extend an official offer. All of that stuff, which becomes very strange for, you know, 50 to 65 year old men, which is probably the majority of head coaches' ages, to have to do that. I think Mike Riley's done it better than most. Is he going to Chance the Rapper or Kendrick Lamar? If there isn't some benefit in being seen there by young, talented high school football players throughout the country,
maybe not.
but it hasn't really seemed forced to me, which is the biggest point. I appreciate that part of it.
Vogues, you just nailed it, man. There's kind of a new normal with an arms race in college football. And I didn't know how to deem it or phrase it, but you're right. You're absolutely right, because everyone's got an indoor facility. Even Miami now, right? even the U has a practice facility indoors now. Never thought we'd see the day, but they have a practice facility. So how do you separate yourself? And we were starting to talk about this in hour one. And you ask the question here as we kind of make predictions a week out, why will 2017 be different for Nebraska? And I said, look, it can be. Will it be? Time will tell with that. But I think it can be, and here's why. And it's some of the same obvious storylines, but they needed to be reinforced because this is different for Nebraska. This is different for them at quarterback. This is different for them on defense. This is different from them from an energy standpoint from a year ago. I think there was some energy, or at least from, you know, the buzz story you did, hearing that buzz, your hot reads yesterday. But it all seems like it's, you know, kind of shaping up, coming together before the season starts. At Nebraska, between the cool coach take, the Tanner Lee prospect, the Diaco D, I mean, it seems extremely positive. The obvious thing lacking is the go-out-and-do-it execution point of it. But where are you at, or have you decided yet, as to this season? You know, the whole enchilada here. Do you think it can be different? And can you talk yourself into an Indianapolis appearance for Nebraska?
Yeah, I don't think it's that hard to get there. I wouldn't predict it, but I can definitely talk myself into it.
good save there, sir.
you know, I still remember sort of the hours after the Music City Bowl, and it tends to happen. You kind of immediately turn the page to the next season, and we were just running down the roster, and it's kind of like, wow. There's a lot to replace here. There's a lot of unknowns. And I think this is sort of the natural life cycle of the off season. By the time you get to this point, 7 days before kickoff, you feel like you kind of figured some of those things out. And I enter 2017 pretty optimistic about Nebraska. They're not going to be the six-win team that some projections had earlier this summer. I feel confident in that part. How high they go, I don't know. But I think the path that they're on, which I would describe as succinctly as possible as an efficient offense with a defense that doesn't get exploded, is a good one to be on. That's kind of the type of football that wins in the West Division. it's kind of, we'll use our inside voices here, Wisconsin football. And I think that's what Nebraska might end up looking like under this, you know, when you add in Tanner Lee, when you add in maybe one of the nation's best defensive coordinators.
And that's kind of the drink recipe I used, right? I mean, you have the quarterback, you have this offensive fit, you have this coordinator that I don't believe will ask his kids to do something they can't, and he'll make it like a custom suit, right? He'll make it fit. He'll make it work. He'll make you look good. And the reasons to have a high ceiling we just laid out. Is injury really the one bugaboo as to why they could hit that 500 mark or barely above?
Yeah, I would say injury. And, you know, if they struggle on the offensive line, which they shouldn't, just given the experience, and if the experience part of the equation isn't working out, you know, there's some talented young redshirt freshmen there that have been making their case, and even a true freshman in one case. So there should be enough options there, but that's the one. You know, if the run game is struggled so mightily that even a more efficient passing game can't noticeably help it, then you might run into problems. I still don't think you end up at six wins unless you put a little bad luck on top of that. But that is still one of the biggest questions out there for me when I think about the offense.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. So I'm wondering here about the old corn stereotype from our friends at Fox and FS1. What was your reaction?
It was a strange video. I understand people's, I guess, I understand why they've grown weary of seeing that, especially when you see a weekend like 2 weekends ago when Kendrick Lamar's here, there's a major heavyweight, or not heavyweight, but a major championship bout in Lincoln, and Run the Jewels is playing in Omaha. Yeah, there's more going on here than cornfields, although this is sort of always been and probably always will be Nebraskans' plight, is that most people, the people making those sort of videos off in an edit day somewhere, don't really know that much about Nebraska. They've never been asked to pay attention to it. Unless you have business in Lincoln and Omaha, you don't end up here very often. And I think part of the reason Nebraska football has the following it does is that for a lot of years, that was the reason people who make videos like that and edit days on the coasts had to know about Nebraska. It was because Nebraska football was in the top five, top 10, year after year after year. So it's always kind of been there. This video in particular, I did not think it was very well done.
Well, I looked at it, and this is like minuscule. I know I need to move on from it. And I mean, we all have family members, or maybe you yourself have a rural background, and that's the backbone of the state. So the work ethic, the genuineness, the heartbeat is well respected and appreciated and needed. That said, I mean, Stamper voiced it, for God's sake, right? From House of Cards. And it's just, you lost at a cornfield. I thought I was watching a horror movie. And I look at Iowa, and whatever you think of Iowa, that was well done because of the pink locker room. The Ohio State video with Urban putting the old Buckeye stickers on, I mean, he looked crazed. That was a pretty good shot. Even the Badger one. What are we doing with Michigan? Oh, yeah. Wolverine. If a Wolverine gets caught in a trap, he chews his leg off and keeps coming after you. And then the jump around. They could have done the tunnel walk or the black shirt tradition is all I'm saying. There are options, right?
Yeah. There are options. I didn't go back and watch any of the other teams, but it does sound a little bit like Nebraska kind of got the short end there. It was like, oh, what can we do with Nebraska? Oh, how about corn? Great, Jimmy. start on that.
Book it. The Vogues, with Nebraska here moving forward, how do you think Nebraska can and will use Spielman and Lindsey together in this offense, and how can they complement each other? Because they're both first-year guys. Lindsey's wowing the coaches, obviously, and Spielman's impressing as well.
Yeah, you know, Mike Riley made it sound on Thursday like there are certain situations where you might see both those guys on the field at the same time. Sounds like Lindsey is pretty locked in as Mike Riley calls it, the old school football position, the flanker behind DeMornay Pearson now. So Spielman's kind of their only guy in the slot right now, with Kean Williams still dealing with a hamstring issue. And I think Gabe Ron is working there a little bit as well. So, you know, we look at Spielman and Lindsey and kind of see similar body types, maybe similar skill sets. Whatever Nebraska's doing in terms of its wide receiver group is seeing a little bit different, at least in terms of position. So I don't think there's any worry about sharing the football with those two. I think you can find ways to get both of them the ball. We know that Nebraska likes to use the wide receiver in the run game. I'm excited to see what new pieces there are to the screen game. I mean, and by that, not just running backs, the wide receiver spring game. And Spielman and Lindsey are the type of guys and kind of the first guys, I think, on the team that you think of for those things. So I think there's plenty of things Nebraska can do with both those guys.
Think about Lindsey, think about Spielman, think about DeMornay, think about Stanley. I mean, I know that you're replacing a lot from last year with Zoe's talent, with Riley's size and talent, with Westy's dependability and longevity. I mean, but those four guys I just rattled off, some of it meshes and there's some crossover and skill sets, but they're also very different and potentially explosive in their own way. I mean, if I'm a secondary coach going against Nebraska, and I know the line gives Lee time, and say they get the run game going too to keep you off balance, have fun, right?
Yeah, I look at that, you know, that sort of top four maybe of the receivers, and it looks like a pretty explosive group. Now it's not the group where you've got, where everyone's 6'3", and it's the prototypical wide receivers, and you're just like, well, this is going to be a matchup nightmare. No, this is going to be more of a matchup nightmare maybe with when they have the ball in their hands. And I think you'll see a lot of short passing for Nebraska in 2017, a lot of manageable throws. Now, Tanner Lee might sort of stretch the definition in a good way of what a manageable throw is. But just get those guys the ball. Again, not going to see a ton of deep balls, I don't think. You obviously got to take some shots. But I'm expecting to see a sort of controlled passing game. Let those guys just make plays because that's what they're good at.
Vogues, we'll shift gears in a second. But as we kind of conclude, maybe a prediction for this season, have you penciled in? I won't ask ink. Have you penciled in what Nebraska will do in 17? Are there any surprise victories you see? And is the gap narrowed between two of the heavyweights in the East when it comes to facing Penn State and Ohio State? Again, predicting, not knowing, because that's several, you know, still months away.
Yeah, I don't know that the gap is narrowed between Ohio State and anybody in the conference. They just have, they're so far ahead. Penn State's going to be plenty good. Can they, you know, and we'll see what happens. They might win the Big Ten again. What happens the year after that? You know, it's just Ohio State's been there. They always get the benefit of the doubt with me. For Nebraska, I'm still like everybody else between probably 8 and 9 wins. I do think Nebraska gets a win at gets a win against Wisconsin. That'll be a big one. When you look at the way that's shaping up as a visit date, how close Nebraska's been in the past 2 years, just finally beating that team would be big for Mike Riley with Paul Chris there. You know, it's just they feel so similar, and Wisconsin's gotten the better of them twice. So that'll be a big one. I think there'll probably be a not necessarily unexpected loss, but when you look at the West, everyone below Wisconsin, you've got three or four teams that all kind of feel the same. You know, by the time Nebraska plays Minnesota, I think they're going to be better than they are over the first 2 months under PJ Fleck. And of course, then there's the Northwestern game. So I do think it's that sort of season where maybe you get that Wisconsin win that everybody wants, and then maybe you give one up to a team like Northwestern or Minnesota.
So they're still not beyond maybe dropping a game to a team that's they've beaten, but they've also split with. They're not that head and shoulders better.
No, and you know that is sort of reserved for
Ohio
very
State
few football team. Very few football teams in a given year. That's the thing, you know. And you go back and you look at Nebraska, and it's championship seasons, and really anybody's championship season. It's kind of like, well, that's the difference. You maybe got lucky in the game between two heavyweights, and that got you to 12-0, and you got to play for a national title, or maybe you didn't drop one of those. You legitimately beat everybody you should. But it's harder to do in practice, and maybe less common than we probably remember.
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. And you're right, fewer and fewer teams go unscathed. Look at Clemson last year. Who beat them? Pitt. A three ball at the buzzer did it. Vogel, you have a book signing on Monday, O Street Barnes & Noble, with Coach Cook, Dream Like a Champion. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to buy 400 copies of the books for you to sign and Coach Cook to sign. I probably won't do that, but I would if I could. Tell folks why they need to come see you and Coach. I mean, sell me here, brother.
Well, it's I think Coach Cook's resume speaks for itself. If you want to learn what goes into Nebraska's volleyball program, and if you're not a volleyball fan, don't worry. I mean, Coach Cook started out as a football coach. If you ask me, he might still want to be a football coach, so he certainly is very good at what he does and loves his job. But that's the mindset. And then the book is really about how you build teams. You bring people from different backgrounds together, and you have to sort of reset it every year. This is a challenge you're talking about with any college sports, football, basketball, whatever. How do you do that? What has he learned? How does he keep shaping those ideas? And I think that's one of the key advantages he has, is it's not, okay, well, I figured that out 8 years ago, and this is just how we do it. It's constantly changing. So if you've got a group of people that you need to lead, there is stuff in this book here for you. It's, I'm really excited to have worked on it, and I'm really passionate about what's in there. So come on Monday night, and I'm happy to talk more about that stuff, and we'll sign your book.
Brandon Vogel, Coach John Cook, Dream Like a Champion, fantastic read. O Street location, Barnes & Noble, 50th and O. Vogues will be there. Do you want to say hi to Brandon?
Hey, Brandon, can you hear me? Is this thing on?
I can, slightly. Thanks for driving down.
Hey, yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for having me. Hey, would you do something really cool for the Barnes & Noble book signings, though? Would you sign it like a yearbook, like a high school yearbook? So everybody that asks, like, you know, just write things like, have a kick-ass summer, right? put on there, like, Lilab, Lilas, Brandon Vogel.
Never change is going to be a go-to for me. Hello, stranger. Never change.
Party hard this summer, bro.
Are you going with the L in the signature?
No, I don't think so.
That would ruin your cursive game, right? Like, that'd be too many stops.
You can mix cursive and regular.
Yeah, it's true. But the rhythm of that would just be weird, right? Like, the L would bleed into the V, and it wouldn't be good.
Yeah, that's actually a key consideration there. And L's not a very exciting letter, no matter how you write it.
No.
So. I think I'm leaving it out.
Okay.
It's really a sad letter when you're filling out your Husker schedule.
I mean, that's true.
That's true. You don't want to see too many right angles.
No. Last thought, words of advice, Vogues, to Colton, our producer, who is trying out for the team after our show.
Run fast, jump high, and never change.
There we go. Vogues.
Have a kick-ass fall.
Love you much. Be good, brother. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
There he is, Brandon L. Vogel on HailVarsity.com. Greg Smith coming up. Mark Kranak is in studio. It's like it's game week.
I know. I haven't seen this. I was listening about the cornfield commercial. I haven't seen it yet, though, so I'm going to watch it at break, and then we'll have immediate reaction.
I lost my mind on this thing Thursday.
Okay.
Especially
These are 30-second commercials or minute commercials?
It just varies based on the program. Okay. And yes or no on House of Cards, have you watched that with Spacey?
I don't watch that, no. I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, the evil henchman for Spacey is the one who voiced these.
Okay.
So, his voice is good.
Okay.
So watch House of Cards. Right, watch Rick show you what pure-grown diamonds look like. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. When I tell you about diamonds, you perk up. And then you go, oh, my checkbook, right? No. Pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? Well, all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds. They're as beautiful as earth-mined diamonds. They're eco-friendly. They're sustainable. They're absolutely gorgeous. And they're 10 to 40% less for you than earth-mined diamonds. Exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. They've been doing diamonds, watches, engagement rings, earrings, pendants for over a century, and they've been doing it the best. And one of their biggest and best sellers, those pure grown diamonds. Find out, see for yourself today. Go see Rick, 12th and O downtown Lincoln with Sauter Heyman, South Point Pavilion, Sauter Heyman, or out west, your friends in Grand Island, a Sauter Heyman location in Grand Island. Can log on SauterHeyman.com. A quick timeout, recruiting, a little recruiting talk. Greg Smith of Hale Varsity was down checking out Cam Jurgens and Beatrice last night. He'll give us a visit list. Greg also locked in wideout Joshua Moore, The Diary by Joshua Moore. You got to read on HaleVarsity.com. A timeout, recruiting next with Greg Smith. Hale Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
We are efforting our dear friend Greg Smith of HaleVarsity.com and magazine recruiting at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. We'll try and run him down. Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. Colton Stone is getting ready to try out for Nebraska football. God love him. That's awesome. Kranak, you are distraught. You have watched the FS1 promos and previews. And the Iowa one, I know how much you love Iowa, is pretty good.
I didn't see that one yet. So FS1 creates 30-second commercials for each
program
institution in the Big Ten. And they're dramatic, right? They're the dramatic kind of themed acting, that sort of thing. How come Illinois gets a nod to tradition here? So Illinois, and when I'm saying Illinois, I meant like apostrophe Illinois.
No, I know, you know how to say the state.
Illinois video, that's a weird thing to say. I don't think I've ever spoken about Illinois in the possessive. But you know what I mean? Like, when was the last time you do a possessive for Illinois?
Never.
That's weird. So they feature like...
I go the Illini's.
Red Grange, right? They feature Red Grange. They show his like statue. They're like, the galloping ghost, the best college football player ever. And his ghost lives on in the Illini, and you'll feel it. Like, very kind of like, if you didn't know anything, you would think, damn, Illinois is a great program. Wow, they're good. They're steeped in tradition. That's what you would think. Then Nebraska's, you were right. Now, it's kind of cool at the beginning. There's a cornfield, and then you see flashes of a Nebraska helmet running through it. But then there comes to a clearing, a la Field of Dreams. And then there's eight dudes in Husker uniforms. Not too swole, by the way. There's a couple dudes in there like, come on. They don't look like they're football players. You know, like but they're flexing. And they're all white dudes. We can't get a single brother in there. There's like eight people standing in this clearing in Nebraska. Not a single brother.
You know what I thought of with this promo? I thought of the episode of Dexter where he goes to Nebraska.
See? Bunch of white dudes in cornfields, flexing, wearing the uniform. Yeah, they could have done better with that. In fact, I would imagine there has to have been some feedback from the athletic department to be like, look, that's cool. We're happy with our new partners here in Fox. But
keep signing those checks. But listen, you've got the cool coach buzz going on with Riley, okay? And they've done plenty of promotional video and footage about Lincoln and the state being more than just the rural aspect of it, okay?
Yeah.
So this is not good. You're trying to get over that hump of, well, I just thought there was corn. And if you farm corn, God love you. I'm not bashing you at all. But there is some diversity to the state.
A little bit.
There is championship fights at PBA.
Yeah.
There are major concerts that come here. There's major research that occurs here.
Look, I'll tell you, downtown Lincoln, for a city of this size, I mean, it's ridiculous. There cannot be. Maybe there is. I just haven't seen it. I would love to see a city of similar size with that sort of downtown scene. I hate to say this because I'm an Omahan, but I think it's better than downtown Omaha. It really is. I mean, and that makes no sense why that would be, right? You got, it's like Omaha's triple the size of Lincoln, at least. And it's ridiculous. And everybody says that whenever they show up. They're like, damn, I had no idea. And instead, we get a bunch of white dudes in cornfields as if we got no brothers on the team, as if we got no brothers in the state,
well,
which we do.
And then, I mean, if you're going to go tradition, there's black shirt options is what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, maybe a Heisman here or there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
something
some
like
steroid.
That.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
That's Krainak, a rumor.
Evil.
It's a rumor.
No.
It's a rumor.
Let's just not go there.
And those were the 80s? That's just what was happening.
You talk to me about 2017. Why can it be different? Why will it be different? We're talking with Vogues about that.
Got to take some leaps of faith.
You do. How faithful are you?
Yeah. Yeah, and
you're pretty big time realist.
Well, and we talked about it last week before that. I just cannot remember a season where you know so little. You think, you hope, you believe, but you basically only know, you've basically only seen for yourself that Stanley Morgan is a good receiver. I mean, and that DPE was really good at punt returns 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that Aaron Williams is a serviceable safety.
So let's
and that's about it.
You've got all of that, but apply it.
Drew Brown can kick.
Apply it to the schedule. You're headed there, and I'm going in your suitcase. Mm-hmm. Does Oregon seem insurmountable?
Nope.
Does Wisconsin seem insurmountable?
Nope.
Does Northwestern seem insurmountable?
Nope.
Does Penn State seem insurmountable?
Sort of.
At that point of the year, though?
Atmosphere.
No, it's not. Sort of. It's not easy.
Sort of.
Do they just blow?
If you're to believe that they are what they showed last year, which I actually don't think they're.
You think they step back?
Yeah. Because I don't think they've. No, they won too asymmetrically last year. You know what I'm saying? They won.
It all broke right for them.
All of it. All of it. They did not.
That's not knocking their talent. It's straight up every 50-50 ball. Came down with.
It was crazy.
They were nuts on offense.
They're right, and they were nuts. Not in a wow, that was a clinic. They were nuts in that. You were just like, what? They did that again?
They were nuts in a big play fashion.
Big plays that were like broken plays, and that speaks to their athleticism.
Sure,
but it was
they made them.
Good luck if you were going to do that 2 years in a row. They sort of remind me of like a Johnny Manziel Texas A&M.
The lightning in a bottle
right.
squad.
Like they might catch you because they got some dudes.
What about Ohio State?
Yeah, insurmountable. Like, even though it's at home.
Like embarrassing SC rolls in here, insurmountable?
No. At some point, you got to figure that's
10
over.
To 17?
I figure now that you've injected Diaco into the mix and all that, look, Nebraska's not 60 points worse than anybody in the country, let alone Ohio State.
Okay.
Look, I think a lot of that is, I think you had some guys on defense that were seeing ghosts, you know. You could see it in pregame warmups. When those guys were warming up, they were trying to hop up and down like they were hyped, but you could tell that just it wasn't right.
It was at halftime.
And then the whole team is taking their cue from the leaders, and the leaders were seeing ghosts. And so it just, yeah.
Greg Smith of Hale Varsity joins us. We're going to talk some Cruton at Greg Smith HV. Mr. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, man. How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for a few minutes. You're on the road last night down at Beatrice. Cam Jurgens, give us a report. Did you like what you saw?
I did like what I saw. I saw a lot of versatility. I saw Beatrice, Kevin Meyer down there. Coach Meyer using him in a lot of different ways. I was surprised that the very first series they had, they lined him up at tailback for the first three plays and just had him run up the middle, kind of loosen up and move him around a bit. And then on the second drive of the game, the highlight is floating around out there on Twitter. If you haven't seen it, you need to hunt it down and find it. He had about an 82-yard touchdown reception in which he just caught a little pass in the flat, ran one poor kid over, and then put a kid in the spin cycle on the sideline, and then he was off to the races for a touchdown. He's a really good player. He's physical. He hits everything that moves. I think he'll be a nice player for Nebraska.
What's he going weight-wise right about now, Greg? He looks like
I'm sorry.
What's he going weight-wise right about now? Is he going about 250, 260? That dude looks huge.
He looks about 250, 255, I would say, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, he nailed it. If you haven't seen the highlight, I mean, he basically looks like Mick Stoltenberg's wearing Beatrice uniform playing against high school Class B kids.
It's insane, like how big he is and how well he moves for that size. Like, he could be a real weapon at tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
No one chased him down, and I saw that speed burst on the little rollout dump off to the flat, and he showed it all. You're right. Greg Smith's joining us here. HaleVarsity.com and magazine recruiting analyst for Hale Varsity. Let's talk about the Louisiana wideout, four-star Lawrence Keys out of New Orleans. What's the latest on Keys? What do you like about him?
Yeah, I like speed. Like, you're looking at speed, more speed with Keys. He's a good player. Smaller, the 5'11", 170, I believe, down south. Going to be tough to get him away from Notre Dame, but Nebraska made that top six. You got to narrow that down to five to make those five official visits. But I think Nebraska is in the mix here, but I would also say that Nebraska has other receivers that are higher on the board. So, I mean, I think Nebraska will probably get a visit from him, but I would be kind of shocked if he ended up at Nebraska just based on some of where their board is and where they sit with some of the guys like Jalen Hall, Isaiah Crocker, Tommy Bush, some of those guys that are higher on the board for them at this point.
Greg Smith from Hale Varsity with us talking recruiting. Nebraska kicking off a week from today. So crazy to even think about.
That's awesome.
I know. It's
say it again.
God bless America. Night game next. That's always a good atmosphere. Are any visitors coming in this early in the season, or are most, if not all, the visitors coming for the two bellwether games with Wisconsin and Ohio State?
You'll have some visitors for this game. I think you'll get more unofficial visitors than official visitors for sure on this one. You'll have Rylan Goad, tight end out from down south in Georgia. He's a 6'7", 235. Nebraska seems to have a type that they really go after for these tight ends. But he's a 2019 kid, but he'll end up being one of the top couple of tight ends in the country for next year's class. Talked to him yesterday, and he confirmed that he'll be here on unofficial. Funny thing about him is he's got a sister that's a big-time volleyball player. And they'll be also checking out a volleyball game while they're here. And I do have to confirm that Isaiah Crocker, 2018 wide receiver, four-star out of Sacramento, California, will be at that first game. But generally, that first game is not a lot. There's not a lot of visitors. I think last year there were more than expected, and it was a big surprise kind of at the end. But I think you'll see a lot more guys. That Wisconsin weekend, that Ohio State weekend, will be loaded up for Nebraska when it comes to official visitors.
Greg Smith is with us. Another Greg's Guys update for August, and that came out earlier in the week. Any movement on the Greg's Guys list here, Mr. Greg Smith?
There was some movement. We had a new development where we had a couple of new players on there. One guy debuting at number three, and that's Jalen Hall, who, depending on the service that you look, we have him as a four-star. I think there's one that has him as a five-star. He, at one point, Jalen Hall was the number one receiver in the country, didn't have a great summer of workouts, so I think that's why he got moved down a little bit. But he is out of Long Beach Poly. He was a teammate of Joseph Lewis last year. Remember that name, the five-star wide receiver that they chased all season, came in second to USC. Funny thing here is that Jalen Hall actually, after being his teammate, said in the interview that he thought that Joseph Lewis was going to end up at Nebraska, and that Joseph Lewis speaks very highly still of Nebraska, and that's what's got him, or part of the reason it's got him really interested in Nebraska, along with that relationship with Coach Williams. So him debuting at number three on the list is big, because I think Nebraska will get an official visit from him. And he's a heck of a talent, about 6'3", 185, a guy that can be a nice red zone threat for Nebraska. That was the big movement. Of course, I can't mention Greg's guys without mentioning that. Of course, Michael Parsons stayed at number one. There was no movement there with him.
Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hey, cool new feature on HailVarsity.com that you've been wrangling, working, and it's working out. Joshua Moore, Nebraska receiver commit. He's going to be posting a diary. Is that weekly that he's doing that?
Yeah, that'll be weekly, and thank you. That'll be weekly.
Yeah, so it's a little bit about that. That's unique.
Yeah, you know, I've had the idea that I wanted to find a high-profile commit and try and figure out if we could chronicle his season, basically, and that's what we'll be doing with Josh. He was really excited to do it, and Josh has a great story. Like, and it's really intriguing and inspiring. He's had some real tragedy in his life with his brother taking his own life and his grandmother dying of cancer. You kind of saw that in his commit video back over the summer when he did that, and he talked about some of those things in there. Now, I'll tell you, we were all kind of surprised at just how deep he was willing to go with his diary and how introspective he was. It was really, really good stuff from him, and I'm really looking forward to having that throughout the season. I think it'll be really neat to be able to see him go through his final season. He's got some goals and wanting to win state, obviously, and have a really big season. He's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he thinks, as highly rated as he is, he's a four-star kid, and he had the most offers out of any player in the country. He thinks he's underrated, so that'll be kind of fun to see that.
Keep thinking that
throughout the season as well.
Yeah, keep thinking that, Joshua. That's good.
Greg, real quick, what's coming up from you, bud?
Yeah, so we'll get some the exclusive interview I had with Cam Jurgens last night get posted up on the site this morning. I'll give some more extended thoughts on his game as well. Then we'll continue hunting down people throughout the week, confirming official visitors for the first game. I can't believe game week is finally here. Seriously. It feels like they've been in camp forever.
Yeah.
Greg, you're awesome. Great work. Thanks for your time this morning, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You have a good weekend.
You too. Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. A quick timeout. We'll wind down a Saturday and hear our story from producer Colton Stone as he puts the eye black on here in a few hours to try and make the Nebraska football team.
Welcome back to the show. Here are Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
The last Saturday before it gets real. Nebraska football 2017, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Colton Stone, our producer. Ethan hanging out as well. Colton, you are about ready to give it another shot to try and be a Nebraska football player. You are walking on. Tell us your story. Kranak is intrigued.
Yeah.
He wants to know what you're trying out for.
Yeah.
So tryouts are approximately 2 hours. Got to be at Hawks in 2 hours. Kind of jumped up on everybody at being, they told us last Friday that it was Sunday. Now it's Saturday. So now it's in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I had to be up anyway. So I'm trying out for receiver this time. I tried out for tight end previously in the spring.
Okay.
So it's not too big of a difference. It's very similar positions, but the drills will be slightly different. I'm not sure what is going into this one other than I know it's going to be a shuttle again. It's going to be the 40-yard dash. Yeah. It says bag drills. I don't know. What that all entails.
That's not what we were playing in the rail yard last year.
And then And then I believe it's going to be position drills, probably one-on-ones for DBs and receivers at some point. So
you played ball in Millard North, right?
I played freshman football, and after that I was injury-stricken the rest of my athletic career.
During football season or all sports?
A lot of sports.
Everything, basically,
really?
Yeah.
What happened? What kind of injuries?
Fall baseball, I had got slid into at third base, dislocated my kneecap.
Oh,
it's a bad one.
Physical therapy, all that. And then I was playing junior varsity soccer, trying to get conditioned because I missed football to play in my junior year. Planted wrong in a scrimmage, and as my body twisted, popped back out, popped back in, and it was a partial tear of the patella tendon. So it was replaced.
Jeez. Do you get feedback? So you've done the trial before as a tight end. And where do you go? You're probably 6'3", 215-ish?
I'm 215 now. I tried out. I was about 230 when I tried out last time.
Okay. So now you slim down to more of a receiver type build.
Right.
Do you get feedback after the tryout, or is it just kind of like, you didn't make the team, dude?
Yes and no. Yeah. They kind of like, they're kind of blunt about it because that's what they are, is the football program that they're looking for very specific things, but it's kind of just they send out an email and it's like, you know, or they call, I don't know if they call people that make it or what the circumstances are, but they just send out an email individually to everybody, and then as you go through the trial, they kind of tell you things to work on, what to fix to better improve the drills and that and such, but it's kind of just a on the fly kind of thing. So
pretty gutsy to do.
Yeah, man. Been training hard, I'm assuming. Like,
not I mean, I worked out all summer and all that, and nothing really changed as far as that goes.
Yeah.
But I hadn't been doing as much on field stuff because I didn't know when tryouts were. They don't tell you until everyone's back to school, and we kind of thought it'd be after the first couple of games where they know what they need, but as we've seen through this fall camp and summer camp, they've had injuries with receivers, DBs, all that kind of stuff. So they really need bodies, and Will Height said that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, especially a receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. Down to, like, what, 5 scholarship healthy players?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colton Stone, we are cheering for you.
Appreciate it.
And
man, go get it.
Yeah, make it happen, and there's...
What's your 40, a 4.2? 4.3.
We're praying for high fours.
Colton, good luck to you.
Yeah, seriously, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Ethan, thanks for hanging out, sitting in, my man. And we will be back at you next Saturday for Nebraska football 2017 on Hail Varsity.
I could probably run a 5.4 right about now.
My 40 times god-awful. It's always been
5.2 if I'm feeling it.
Mayweather, McGregor, Longwell's tonight. Don't forget the Salt Dogs. Legends Night, Osborne, Crouch, Rozier, Johnny the Jet, a simultaneous first pitch, saltdogs.com/legends.
Good luck to that catcher.
Get your ticket.